Today I would like to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 1. The reason I think this is such a significant chapter for us to go to at the beginning of this message is because here we are going to find out some very crucial information about Judas Iscariot. But here in Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 1, we read, "He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him." Verse 5 is also important because it tells us these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. And if you would read on down through that particular chapter, you would see that Jesus gave them the exact message he wanted them to preach, and he also gave them spiritual power and authority to drive out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and to cleanse the leper. Now, the reason I think this is so important to study this chapter in context is because we see something about one of these individuals, especially Judas Iscariot, that brings out and reflects the intensity of the spiritual war that all Christians are in. The same sort of spiritual battle that Judas was going through as he was following the Lord Jesus, we today are going through also. Without a doubt, every single eternal security teacher would say that Judas was never saved. Of course, they have to say Judas was never saved because the Bible tells us that Judas ended up in hell. In Mark chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus said this, "But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." When you analyze Mark 14, 21, and you realize that there are only two possible eternal destinies, either a paradise kingdom with Almighty God, or a place in fiery torment prepared for the devil and his angels, when Jesus said it would be better for him had he not been born, certainly he can't be describing the paradise kingdom in heaven. Judas died and he went to hell. There's another scripture that proves this, and I'll get to that later in the message. You can see why all of the eternal security teachers would say that Judas was never saved to begin with. Judas most definitely started out as a Christian. When we first read of Judas Iscariot, he is shown to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Judas was elevated to the highest office in the church by Jesus himself, just like the other 12. But nonetheless, something happened to Judas that caused him not only to become a thief, but to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely amazing. We've been contacted in the past by phone as well as email, and people have said, among other things, they're concerned about backsliding, and what they would like to do is be around some people that are very serious about Almighty God, people that are walking holy, and they take the scriptures very seriously. But if you examine what happened to Judas Iscariot, you could see that Judas Iscariot backslid right in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He backslid right in the presence of God in the flesh. Can you imagine what Judas had the privilege to see and to hear? Not only the most pure and sound teachings of all time, but he actually saw firsthand the various miracles that the Lord Jesus performed. How Jesus raised the dead, and how the demons were crying out that Jesus was the Son of God, and many other things like that. And yet, nonetheless, something happened to Judas Iscariot, which shows that Judas' heart changed from where it was at one point, and it became absolutely, incredibly evil and wicked, to the place that he became a traitor. Well, there are reasons why the eternal security teachers would try to say that Judas was never saved to begin with. Let me give you a quote from Ankerberg. Quote, "Judas was a disciple, but never a true believer." Unquote. Well, if that's true, what we have to do is consider the possibility that perhaps none of the other 12 were ever saved either. Why don't we go to the Word of God and find out just what the Bible says about this term called disciple. Is a disciple of Christ a Christian according to the Word of God? Now, we're not talking about a disciple of John the Baptist or a disciple of the Pharisees. We're talking about a disciple of the Lord Jesus, which Judas Iscariot was. In Luke chapter 14, 26 and 27, Jesus set down the spiritual qualifications to be his disciple. The Lord said this, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Jesus made it perfectly clear that if you're going to be his disciple, and we know Judas was a disciple according to Matthew chapter 10 verse 1, that he would have to carry his cross and follow Jesus. That he would have to put Jesus first in his life, before his own family members, and we find out elsewhere even before his own life. In Luke chapter 14 verse 33, Jesus said, "Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Again, very clearly, we see that Judas was a disciple. Judas was a Christian based on Luke 14:33. He apparently gave up everything to follow the Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 12:49-50, we read this. "And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus, in Matthew 12:49-50, stretched forth his hand, said, "This is my spiritual family," and he stretched his hands out toward his disciples. Obviously, because of the problem that this would be to the theology of eternal security, they're going to have to redefine this term disciple, as I already mentioned. But if you examine these three scriptures, is it not crystal clear that Judas was indeed, at one time, a true Christian? And something sadly occurred over the course of time, slowly, in the heart of Judas. And isn't it true that the same can happen, and often does happen, to people that we would know today? Well, as we would continue to study through Matthew chapter 10, as Jesus sent these disciples, these apostles out to preach and to heal and to raise the dead, Jesus came to verse 22 and he said to these 12 that all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. In verse 22, the Lord Jesus wanted the 12, including Judas, to know that they would all be hated. Judas would be hated like the rest of them because of Jesus' name. And Jesus said, you're going to have to endure through this hatred, this persecution, to the very end of your life to be saved. That is, to actually get into the kingdom. I remember witnessing to one eternal security proponent, and I brought out Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. And I said, if you're telling me that Judas was never saved to begin with, then what the Lord Jesus said to Judas was that if he would endure in his doubt and unbelief, that he would be saved. Then I added to that, I said, does that make sense to you? Told me I never heard that argument before. And there are a lot of things these people have never heard before, never thought about before, because all they're doing is sitting back and listening to the popular teachers and reading their books, and as a consequence, they have been indoctrinated, wrongly may I add, and they don't even know it. Well, if you'd read on down through Matthew chapter 10, you would find out in verses 24 and 25 that the Lord Jesus said to the 12, "A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the student like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household?" Jesus is saying to the 12, they call me names, I'm the head of the household, they're going to call you names, and you're the members of my household. So Judas was a member of Jesus' spiritual family. That's Matthew chapter 10, 24 and 25. The same can be said about the other 12. All 12 were members of the household of the Lord Jesus. Jesus told them that everybody would hate them and persecute them and not necessarily accept their message. They would call them names. He immediately told them in verse 26 not to be afraid. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those that kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one that can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, we see that the Heavenly Father was Judas' spiritual father, just like the other 12. But that's not all. You continue to read on down through Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said in verse 40, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me." To receive Judas Iscariot as he would go out and preach the gospel and heal the sick and raise the dead would be the same as receiving Jesus according to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 verse 40. For anybody to say that Judas was never saved to begin with is borderline blasphemy, even though they don't mean it to be borderline blasphemy. And the reason it is because in Titus chapter 1, as well as 1 Timothy chapter 3, the spiritual qualifications to be a spiritual leader are cited. And those qualifications point to that particular person not only being sound in doctrine, but being holy in character. The eternal security teachers are actually saying that the Lord Jesus violated these qualifications that are set down in the scriptures to be a spiritual leader. And those qualifications point to that particular person not only being sound in doctrine, but being holy in character. And it's impossible for Judas to be holy in character if Judas was always a child of the devil, always dead spiritually, always lost and under the power of Satan. And remember, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28 states the highest office in the church is apostle, which Judas held, and that's because Jesus put him there. So certainly, without a doubt, if you would just ponder these scriptures, Judas would have had to have been a Christian, walking holy and upright and sound in doctrine at one point in time when he first started out, when we first read of him in the Bible. He was sent out with special power to preach the message and to be the Lord Jesus' representative. Do you think that Jesus would have a child of the devil to be his holy representative? To represent not only his message, but also what the power of God can do to transform a life? In John chapter 17, verse 12, we read this. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. By the name you gave me, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. This is a particular scripture that, at least part of the scripture, the eternal security proponents would like to focus in upon and say that Judas was never saved because he was called son of perdition. In fact, here is Charles Stanley saying that very thing.
Jesus says he was the son of perdition. He didn't say he was one of my children who fell apart or who fell away or who fell from grace, but he says he was the son of perdition that the scriptures might be fulfilled. God the Father arranged that one of those apostles would be one who would betray him. There's not a single indication that man was ever saved.
As you just heard, Charles Stanley stated, there's not a single indication that Judas was ever saved. Well, I just gave quite a few, more than a single. But let me continue on. This scripture in itself, in John chapter 17, verse 12, which states that none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, shows that Judas was once saved at an earlier point in time. To say something like this, this sort of sentence construction would be the same as saying, I have all 12 of the marbles you originally gave me, except the green marble, which became lost. Judas is that green marble. Judas became lost. It's not that he was never in the spiritual family of God at an earlier point, because he was. He was a holy representative, held the highest office in the church, called a disciple of the Lord Jesus, the same kind as Peter and John and Matthew. But sadly, Judas later became a thief and was called a devil, and Satan even entered into him, according to various scriptures in the Gospel of John. Now, some people like to say, how could Judas ever be saved if he was called a son of perdition? Well, we could say most definitely that's not a very good argument, because if Judas was never saved because he was called a son of perdition, then what we have to do is rule out the possibility that Peter was ever saved, because Peter is called Satan in the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Should we say that Peter was never saved because he was called Satan? Absolutely never. I mean, after all, if you look at Peter, Peter was called a disciple. He was elevated to the office of apostle, the highest office in the church. He was sent forth by Jesus himself to preach the gospel and give him power to heal and to cast out demons. But the same exact truths can be stated about Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot also did the same. In Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 13, all the way on down to verse 16, the Bible says, when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who's called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Judas became a traitor, but according to other scriptures, Judas was not always a traitor. Judas was something different at an earlier point in time. It's just like examining the life of Solomon, King Solomon in the Old Testament. Would somebody say that Solomon was always an unsaved man? He was always a child of the devil because at the end of his life, he became an idolater? Well, Judas became a traitor and Solomon became an idolater. Without a question, Solomon was saved at one point in time. At an earlier point, we know he was saved. Clearly, just like we know Judas was saved. The same exact horrible thing that happened to Judas happened to Solomon. And these facts should not be concealed. They should not be denied because it reflects the intensity of our spiritual warfare. If you're a real Christian, you know what I'm about to tell you is the truth. If you set your heart on serving God, trouble is going to come your way. That's exactly what the Bible says. Trouble, persecution, adversity will come. Not everybody can stand up under this trouble and persecution and the temptations that will come in various ways. Some people go by the wayside because of money or the love of money. Others because of persecution. Some because of sin, whatever that might be. We don't know all the details what really caused Judas to become a thief and a traitor, but certainly some kind of greed is indicated. But again, it's not crystal clear. Did you ever notice Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, regarding this issue about Judas ever being saved or never being saved? Matthew 19, verse 28, Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The Lord Jesus promised Judas a throne in heaven in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Let me repeat that. I said the Lord Jesus promised Judas Iscariot a throne in heaven, just like he did the other 12 apostles. Now, is it possible? Could it be that Judas was never saved to begin with and yet be promised a throne in heaven? Never. Absolutely, positively, never. Judas was once saved. He was a disciple, an apostle. He submitted to the Lord Jesus' leadership. And elsewhere, we find out to be a disciple, you have to follow him. And that's exactly what Judas was doing for a time. It says in Luke 14:27, "Anyone that does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Well, we know Judas did it one time because he was a disciple. And here it says in Matthew 19:28, "You who have followed me," that includes Judas, he was a disciple, "will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, this was exclusively stated to the 12 apostles. They were specifically singled out right here in this passage of being promised a throne in heaven, Judas being one of the 12. Well, we read of the son of perdition two times in the Bible. Stanley likes to focus in upon the fact that he was called son of perdition. And not just Charles Stanley, other ones too. Other translations or versions of the Bible would render that the man doomed to destruction, which would also indicate that Judas ended up in this place called hell. And that's the same thing, again, that is shown in John 17:12. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction. So Judas became lost. This should tell every single Christian the absolute necessity of that Christian walking in a guarded manner, being very careful in where you go, what you say, what you do, and always to walk in a guarded manner. Listen, folks, if the apostle Judas Iscariot was walking in the presence of God in the flesh for a number of years, he heard the best teacher, saw the best example, and yet he backslid and became a traitor. And Satan himself came to indwell Judas at one point in time. Don't think for a moment that such cannot happen to you. You can actually turn to that degree. It's possible for a Christian to later become demon-possessed when you consider what happened to Judas Iscariot. Judas was a preacher. This is a very important point to make as well. Is it possible for somebody to preach the gospel and afterwards later to end up in hell? Absolutely. There have been many Christians preaching solid messages and then later backslide and end up in hell. Judas Iscariot is a prime example. Judas was a preacher of the Word of God. He was sound in what he declared. And yet we see that Judas Iscariot ended up in hell. The Apostle Paul said something along those lines in regard to himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, that if after I preach to others, if I don't beat my body and make it subject to me, I myself will be a castaway. Even though the Apostle Paul preached the true gospel, the gospel of grace, he knew he could end up just like Judas Iscariot. And if you are a Christian, in particular a preacher, please know that you can yet go to hell. Just preaching a gospel, the true gospel, doesn't mean you're going to enter the kingdom of God. You have to endure to the end to be saved, according to what Jesus said to these 12 apostles. Judas did not endure to the end. It's a very sad thing for the eternal security teachers to deny the facts about Judas Iscariot. It's sad in more than one way. It's sad because people need to know what the Bible was teaching, period, about the believer's security. But it's also sad because when they deny that Judas was once saved, who afterwards became a lost man, they're actually denying the truth and downplaying the fact that we are in a very intense spiritual war, as I mentioned before. The devil, according to the Word of God, is prowling around throughout the whole earth, seeking whom he can devour. Now, that was written to Christians. Peter could never expect an unsaved person to be alert and self-controlled. Never. That was written to Christians. If you are my spiritual brother at this moment, if you're not alert and self-controlled, the devil will devour you. He's not trying to play patty cakes with you. He's trying to devour you. The devil wants you in hell. Let me repeat that. Satan wants you in hell. He doesn't take a vacation. He doesn't sleep. He plots. He plans. He schemes. He'll give you thoughts and give another person thoughts and give a third party thoughts. And he'll try to cause confusion, strife, slander, lying, anything he can to bring you down if he can. You have to battle. A battle is a battle. A fight is a fight. A war is a war. And a wrestling match is a wrestling match. And we are in a spiritual war, a spiritual battle, and a spiritual wrestling match. You must put on the whole armor of God, according to Paul, to stand against the devil's schemes. He's scheming and he's plotting and he's watching for an opportune moment to get at you and me. Let's all take warning of what happened to the apostle Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot is a person that should make us think twice about being carefree and off guard. In the Amplified Bible in Acts chapter 1 verse 25, the Bible says this: to take the place in his ministry and receive the position of an apostle from which Judas fell away and went astray to go where he belonged, to his own proper place. That's what the apostle Peter stated about Judas, as well as his replacement, which would soon be manifest to be Matthias. Judas fell away and went astray from this holy high office of apostle, and they had to get a replacement. In contrast to what all of the eternal security people want us to think, Judas was a trusted friend of Jesus at one time. In Psalm 41, verse 9, it says, "Even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." This is in reference to Judas Iscariot. Sometimes the eternal security people will say that Judas was never a believer at any point in time, and they will misuse John 6:64. John 6:64 says, "Yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them," plural, "which of them did not believe and who," singular, "would betray him." Jesus referred to two groups right here in John 6:64. One plural and one singular. Judas is the singular one, the one who would betray him. Some of these eternal security people want us to think that Judas was never saved because Jesus said, "Have I not chosen you the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" But notice that's a far cry from saying, "Have I not chosen you the 12, and yet one of you was a devil." Judas was not a devil when Jesus first chose him. He was a disciple. The Bible says he was a disciple. If he was a devil, then that would be a contradiction. There are no contradictions in the Bible. Judas was a disciple who became a devil. Judas was a disciple who became a thief and betrayed the Lord Jesus. Just like Solomon, who was a righteous and holy man, who became an idolater. Just like the prodigal, who had spiritual life at one time and then became lost, and later repented and became alive again, according to Luke 15:24. There are many ways to disprove the teaching of eternal security. Many, many ways. Some people think it's hard to disprove this theology. It's very easy to disprove the teaching of once saved, always saved. All you need in the Bible is a single example of any person, named or unnamed, that was once saved and afterwards lost his salvation, either permanently or temporarily. Judas Iscariot is a prime example of a person that was once clearly saved and afterwards, later down the road, became lost. There was no once saved, always saved for Judas Iscariot, and there is no once saved, always saved for us. These arguments that the eternal security people might falsely erect as being invincible proof that once you become a Christian, you will always remain a Christian, are far from being irrefutable. Sometimes they'll reason on the basis of the seal of the Holy Spirit, or because God will keep you, God will hold you, God will strengthen you, God loves you. Well, God loved Judas Iscariot. And if God would unconditionally guard and protect and strengthen all of us, he certainly would have done that for Judas Iscariot, and yet something happened to Judas Iscariot. Friends, the same can happen to you and me. It is possible to lose your salvation. It is possible to go astray to the point where you no longer know God in the way of salvation, and you're back on the road to damnation once again. The Bible says, "Few there will be that will enter it," referring to the narrow door into the kingdom of God. We must be careful. We must be on guard. Watch those thoughts you ponder. Watch the places you go. And your old friends, if they're ungodly, you need to get rid of them. If they're going to drag you down to hell with them because of sin, they're no longer a friend. They're an enemy, a spiritual enemy. It's time to get new friends, if you can find friends. Some people think the worst possible condition is to be lonely. No! The worst possible condition is to get defiled again after you get saved. It's much better to be lonely than to have a bunch of wicked friends that'll drag you down to hell with them. You'll see in the Bible, if you would study the subject of loneliness, that many righteous, holy people had at least lonely times. And the same will happen to you and me. If you're going to live godly in this wicked and ungodly environment and society that we're in today, there will be lonely moments.
Can you imagine what it would be like to die and to go to hell? Try to imagine the regret and deep anguish for those who wake up in this horrible place prepared for the devil and his angels. As bad as that will be, even a greater surprise is awaiting the ones who believed in the security in sin gospel, commonly called eternal security. They died in a lost condition. They thought even for years that they would most assuredly go to heaven after their death, because they were once saved. But instead, they go to hell. This is how it will be for multitudes. Will you help us reach these and others before it's eternally too late? Please visit our website at www.evangelicaloutreach.org.